1 minute. We're fixing some technical difficulties, getting our camera rolling, and we'll have worship started. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for worship on this blessed Sunday as we get to celebrate the festival of John Huss. A happy 4th of July to all, and just a wonderful Sunday to praise and worship God. A few announcements before we get started. Just a reminder of our protocols that if you want to sing for hymns, we ask that you wear a mask when doing so. We'll no longer be dismissing people by families, so please make sure to continue to space yourself out. Brown Bag and Big Ideas, that continues on, but this Monday we will not have an official programming because of the federal holiday, so anybody who'd like to join for fellowship is welcome to. There will be no pastors there to lead any type of programming at that time. Also, our Bit by Bit Camp Reunion will be at the Tuscarawas County Fairgrounds, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, July 31st for kids Bethany and Tarhalo age. Permission slips have been printed and are in the narthex. They've also been emailed to you as well in our weekly email, so please get those in so we can get an understanding of numbers as soon as we can. CEC has moved their meeting from this Monday to next Monday because of the federal holiday as well, so they will meet in the front yard of the parsonage as well. And then another reminder is that 2 weeks from now we will be worshiping on Saturday night just as we did last year. So Saturday, July 17th, we will worship in the front parking lot at 7 p.m. So that's going to be a great opportunity for us to be outside. We'll be a little later at night because it's the middle of July and we didn't want to do it at 10:30 in the morning when it was 90 degrees. But we think it's going to be a great worship service and a great chance for us to praise God. That's all I have for announcements. Let us stand and please extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for you this week comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Amen. Our opening hymn today will be For All the Saints, and as we remember the martyrdom of John Huss, we will include the verse that is about John Huss and all the wonderful service he gave to the church and the 600-year legacy that he has left with the Protestant church and all the gifts that he has shared with us.
Thank you. Our first scripture lesson is from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 10. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast about all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our second scripture is from Mark 6, 1 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them.
Let us now come to God in prayer. In our prayer concerns this week, we uplift, first of all, gratitude that today, a day we celebrate independence as a nation, is a day that we get to worship and gather together to celebrate our not only our independence as children of God, but our connection, knowing that each of us are lucky to be a part of the United States. May we take this holiday to reflect and celebrate the millions of people that have made the ultimate sacrifice to preserve and defend those freedoms. In our individual prayer concerns this week, we also offer in prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Harlow Elizabeth Dunn, who entered the more immediate presence of our Lord and Savior on Tuesday evening. She was the daughter of Stacy Dunn and her husband, and we pray for them as they mourn the loss of baby Harlow. Stacy is the niece of Sharon Belknap, so we ask that you continue to uplift them in prayer at this time. We also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Eleanor Bailey after her passing last Tuesday. She is Carolyn Menapace's grandmother. Carolyn got to be with her, and her kids got to be with family this past week. A service of remembrance was held, and we uplift that family in prayer and just give thanks for 72 wonderful years of marriage she experienced with her husband. We continue to uplift those who were struck in the Florida condo tragedy, for those who've lost lives, for those family members who are still waiting for answers, for those who continue to uplift and support those who have been traumatized by that. We uplift that in prayer. Some joys to share in our community. Trumpet in the Land will be opening tomorrow. Our own Jacob Cannon will be in the chorus for that. I encourage you, if you get an opportunity, Monday is a Tuscarawas County Day. Tickets that were $20 are now $5 for that day for residents of T County. So if you want to support just such an important mission, talking about what Moravians have meant to this community, Trumpet in the Land is a great place to do that. Also in our prayers, I want to make note of birthdays and anniversaries from this past month of June. Celebrating birthdays in June were Jackie Pasquinelli, Cheryl Codry, Tammy Eichel, Martha Dalcoma, Janet West, and Rick Swaldo. Anniversaries were Tom and Jean Ann Baker, Dave and Janet Jenkins, and Ron and Missy Martin. We give thanks for all the wonderful joys and blessings there are. And on a lighter note, if you have anything you want to ask your pastor for, this is a good week to do it. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1974. The Brewers have their longest winning streak since 87. And Culver's just opened in Canton. So you have a hat trick of wonderful things that are happening. Four Wisconsinites among you. Let's take some time in silence and come to God in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for the people gathered here today. It'd be so easy to go through the motions in our faith and sleep in today and forget about praise and worshiping you. But we are so grateful that these dedicated people have showed up to pray, to be a part of this faith community, to show the world that our faith matters. And we also give thanks for the martyrdom of John Huss. 600 years ago, we never could have imagined the impact that this little priest from Bohemia would have. But he reminded us that faith, hope, and love is what is important. That we should not use religion to point at ourselves, but we should use religion to reflect on Jesus and the love that has been poured out for each and every one of us. So help us to humbly live into that legacy. And gracious God, we come before you with a lot of heavy hearts. We think of the families that are grieving right now. Those in that Florida condo accident. Harlow's family, Eleanor Bailey's family, so many other families who are hurting right now. Help them to know that even in the midst of the struggle, you are taking care of them. You are watching over them. And you are reminding them that your mercy is there for each and every one of us. And we will see you face to face after our final day on this earth is done. So God, help us to just see the joy as we celebrate this 4th of July and an extra day off on Monday for many of us. Help us to just take time to be grateful, to breathe in your love, to feel the power of your creation, and know that this world has been beautifully and wonderfully made. And we were created to enjoy it. So help us to enjoy the gift of life. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we now turn over to our offering. We once again remind you that there's no offering plate going across the pews, but there is an offering plate in the back. For anybody who would like to make a personal donation. There also is, we continue to thank all of you who give so strongly on scmchurch.org, which is there for all your online giving needs. But as we come before, let us remember that we have so much to be grateful from God. So let us give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. Please rise as we join together in the offertory. Thank you. Let us pray together. Loving Savior, we give thanks for the many gifts that we have been given. Help us to give to those in need out of our abundance that is constantly refilled by the generosity of our merciful Savior. Amen. You may be seated. So for our children's chat today, I was reminded once again we have a Youth Sunday today. So kids, if you have any of your toys or objects that you want to pull out at this time, now would be a good time to do that. For those of you that are online, what we do is we invite the kids to bring their own toys, and I have to build the children's lesson based on all the things they have. So I'll do my best to verbalize what I see. And so let me see what you got. All right, so we've got a pony, a fidget spinner, a hat, a puppy, and a golf ball. So let's start with Nicholas's golf ball over there. So 600 years, we're going to talk about the story of John Huss. And 600 years ago, over 600 years ago, in Czech Bohemia, lived this nice, humble priest named John Huss. And he noticed some things that were going badly with the church. They became focused on money. The priests were out on the golf course instead of in the pews where they were supposed to be, taking care of people, loving people. So he took a long spiritual walk with his puppy over there. And he thought about, how can we do things better? How can we be a better church? And he focused on three things. Making sure people had access to communion. Stopping the sale of indulgences. And he put his hard hat on when he put his thinking hat on. Because what was happening, an indulgence was, at that time, you could actually pay to have your sins forgiven. So if you yelled at your mom for asking you to do a chore, you could just say, hey mom, here's $5, I'm sorry about it, you can't ground me, it's all good. That's kind of what indulgence was like, but for adults with sins. So you could go to your priest and do that. And there were other things, they were selling relics and things like that. And the other important thing, it may sound crazy, but they wanted to hear the Bible in the language of the people. And that's very, very important. You think that's crazy that you get to hear your pastor speak in English? Imagine being in church today and hearing me speak in Latin. You think church is boring now? Whoa. If you heard me preaching in Latin, you would have another standard to it. So John Huss worked hard on those three things. So, Aubrey, can I see the pony? So he got on his horse, and he went all the way to Italy to talk to the Pope, to ask him to reform and to fix these things. And all of John's friends told him, no, don't go, it's too dangerous. But John said it was too important. And the Pope at that time was a little corrupt. And so John was a prayerful man, so he got out his fidget spinner, and he was praying with his active hands, asking God to protect and to help him. But what John didn't know, does Willow have anything for me? Is that a pen or is that?
Willow has a knife.
That's a knife. Okay. Well, we're getting to that part now. So. Oh, my goodness. What did I get myself into today? So anyways, John is meeting with the Pope and the Council of Constance, and he's asking them to change their ways. They're refusing, so they give John a choice. You can change, you can repent, you can say it's okay for us to make all this money, to do all this corrupt things, or you can sacrifice your life. And at that time, it was being burnt at the stake. And John was full of so much conviction, so much belief in Jesus, that he was willing to sacrifice his life. And on July 6, 1415, he made that ultimate sacrifice. But one thing people didn't realize is that John's movement didn't die with him that day. On July 7th, people of Bohemia were mobilized to do those things that John talked about. And 600 years later, we still get to be a part of that thing. We still get to have communion to all people. We get to hear the Bible in the language of our people. We've stopped some of the corruption within inside of the church, and we've made sure the money that we earn goes to people who need it. All of those things are from the legacy of John Huss, and it all started in Bohemia when he was worried about what the priests were doing. And he went for his walk, and he rode all the way across Europe to remind people of this message. And he easily could have gone back home and said, I don't want to deal with it. This isn't my problem. I'll fight another fight. But we as Moravians carry that legacy on to remind people that communion is for all. The Bible belongs in the language of all people. It's one of the reasons why the Moravian Church has translated to the Bible in hundreds of languages. And all of us are welcome at the communion table. So we celebrate that gift. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for these kids, for the energy and inspiration they provide each of us, and help them to remember that they can follow in the legacy of John Huss by just focusing on Christ, by looking for ways to make Jesus the anchor of their life. And there are so many distractions in this life that can prevent us from that. Money, ego, and so many different things. But you, God, if we stay true to you, will lead us to a better place than any of those material objects could take us. Because nothing can defeat a relationship with Jesus. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So let us turn our hearts and our minds to our message today. So we're looking at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 13, where Jesus is rejected. We have a lot going on in the scripture passage. Jesus was rejected by his hometown. Not by strangers, not by unbelievers, but by the people he grew up with. By the people who sat next to him in the pews at his synagogues. The elders of his community, the priests who watched him hold his mother's hand as they walked through the market. You see, it's easy to be rejected by a stranger that doesn't know us, but it is far harder to be rejected by friends and loved ones, people you care about. And Jesus knew what that sting of that intimate rejection felt like. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we handle rejection? For the most part, we aren't very good at it. It's not in our human nature. And when I think about rejection, the first thing that always comes to mind for me is Michael Scott from The Office. And he said this about his fear of being rejected. Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised. See, no matter how much we say we can handle rejection, our humanity often betrays us. We are natural people pleasers that obsess over the reasons that people reject us. And you can tell how much we hate rejection by the fact that we do everything in our power to keep our kids from avoiding and feeling rejection in their lives. We create participation trophies. We adapt policies that all kids have to be invited to birthday parties. And we have seen in recent college admission scandals that helping kids avoid rejection letters from colleges and wait lists to elite universities has become a billion-dollar industry in our country. Not a million-dollar industry, a billion-dollar industry, all to prevent rejection. And you see, avoiding rejection at all costs can seem like a big mistake, especially to me. Because learning how to handle rejection is a critical life skill. We don't think about it like learning how to plan a budget, learning how to cook, learning how to drive a car, but learning how to handle rejection in your life should be one of those important things we should think about. Because resiliency is a muscle that needs to be exercised and flexed, especially when we are young, to avoid becoming devastating when we are older. And guess what? It is okay if we are cut from the basketball team. It is okay if every person we date as a teenager or young adult doesn't think we are mama's little angel, people. And it is okay if our employer doesn't give us gold stars and A-plus reviews every day we show up to work on time. It's okay to feel rejected sometimes. And Dr. Rick Rigsby said, "I'm not worried that you won't be successful. I'm worried that we won't fail from time to time. The person that gets up off the canvas and keeps growing, that's the person who will continue to grow their influence." When we talk about resiliency, resiliency is important. And I think Jesus was using this opportunity to equip his disciples for the future struggles they would face. Listen to verses 5 and 6 again. "And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching." Just like that, Jesus moved on with his life. Jesus didn't dwell in the rejection that he was feeling. He didn't spend hours obsessing over what he could have said differently or misinterpreted or misunderstood. He didn't even do the first century equivalent of putting on Netflix and drowning himself in a quart of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. He simply moved on with his life. He did not let rejection take over him. He did not let it become his God. And this is an important lesson for us. Because you see that I've been holding on to this glass of water throughout this sermon. So what question do you think I'm going to ask Tim Northrup? What's the question a psychologist always ask about water? Half full or half empty? It turns out that's a wrong question to ask today. Because here's the real question. It's how long? How long do you hold on to a grudge? A social psychologist will tell you that. That is the important question. Because guess what? There's only a quarter of this water in there now. It's easy to carry right now. I've been holding on to this for 5 minutes. What happens at 10 minutes? My arm starts to get a little shaky. What happens at 30? I probably have to droop and hold it down. After an hour, I'm probably icing my arm the next day. If we hold on to a grudge, as long as we hold on to a glass of water, think about how much that can negatively impact us. If we don't let go, if we don't put it down, if we don't shake the dust off our feet and move on with our lives. Because it's such an important skill. If we don't forgive ourselves or forgive the people who've hurt us, we end up holding on to that glass of water forever. And it damages us far more than we realize. And the important thing to know, as Moravians, you are part of a legacy of people who have had to shake off the dust from their feet for over 600 years. That started with John Huss. It did not end with Huss, though. In 1415, he was martyred because he believed in those very things we talked about. The Bible should be in the language of the people. The church shouldn't be marketing and profiting by selling the forgiveness of sins. And Holy Communion should be accessible to all people. And guess what? 300 years later, we had to shake the dust off of our feet in this Ohio Valley. We said we were neutral when it came to the American Revolutionary War. So that didn't mean both sides liked us. The British thought we were traitors because we were willing to talk to the colonists, and the colonists called us un-American loyalists for still being connected to the European church and our unwillingness to fight the British, to disown them. You see, neutrality for Moravians has not been easy. Neutrality for us has often meant that an equal amount of hatred from both sides exists. It's hard to stay in the middle. But the important thing to remember is that these issues Huss died for, to get us more focused on Christ, they still matter today. They're still important to talk about. And especially during these COVID times. Because I was talking to a colleague who was telling me that he was serving another Protestant church where the tradition in that church was that everyone during Holy Communion drinks from the same cup, the same chalice. So they had a challenge when their church came back to return to worship last summer. And all the bishops of this wider church had to gather and they had to determine if it was okay for the laity to use individual communion cups or to stop serving communion to the people of the congregation altogether. And in their church, they decided it was better for the clergy to take the communion cup on behalf of the congregation instead of changing how they do things and giving individual glasses to the people in the church. That may not sound like a big deal, but it's important to us because the Protestant in me cringed when I heard that. All people should be welcome at the table. The priest should not be elevated. That's what the Protestant Reformation was all about. So we have an opportunity when we partake in Holy Communion today to say that our legacy still matters. Because it matters that each and every one of us is invited to the Lord's table. I will never take communion on behalf of all of you. It still matters to be reminded that the priest is just as humble and sinful as the congregation. It still matters that a repentant heart and a faithful heart is far more important than any tradition we try to preserve or have become consumed by. We have the opportunity to show that today. And first and foremost, there is no rejection or favoritism when it comes to who can have their sins forgiven. We are all invited, we are all welcome to the Lord's table. So we come forward today. We accept Christ's invitation to commune, not just as descendants of John Huss, but as children of God, accepted and loved by Christ Jesus. You are not rejected at this table. You are accepted because Christ Jesus was willing to accept us first. So let us prepare our hearts for the opportunity to welcome in Christ's love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the invitation to the table. Help us to remember that as descendants of Huss, that we should be grateful that all of us are welcome at this table. And that just by taking community as one united church, we carry that legacy with us. And as we hear the lesson from Christ Jesus, help us to understand that rejection happens in life. That we are rejected in relationships, we are rejected in circumstances, we are rejected in opportunity sometimes. But it is our task as disciples of Christ to not be paralyzed by that rejection, to move on and to shake the dust off our feet and to show people that God supplies us with many things, and that includes a resilient and strong and faithful heart. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we prepare our hearts for communion as we listen to our preparatory hymn, and we have a chance to reflect on all the wonderful things God is doing for us. The Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who welcome Christ Jesus in their hearts are welcome at this table. As we reflect and pray, we have so much to be thankful for this invitation to this table. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let us stand and please extend the right wave of fellowship. You may be seated. God, we come before you and we thank you for the humble invitation to your table. We come before you with repentant hearts, asking for forgiveness for our sins, for what we have done, what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. You had every opportunity to judge us, but still you blot out all our transgressions and remind us that we are made in your image, that we are welcome to feel your mercy and taste the gift of your salvation. So as we breathe in that truth, may we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." plagiarize. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. hear us. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace. Amen.
Proclaim the Lord's death. Let us extend the right wave of fellowship. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This concludes our worship service today. We want to wish you all a blessed and happy 4th of July. I want to give a special shout out to my wife, Emily, who let me borrow her flower mask since I forgot my mask today for communion. So you can let us know who wore it better after worship. Spoiler, I already lost, so go in peace. Oh, my goodness.